Hello, Mr. Saverhagen. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. How's it going?
We are doing well. My name is Andrew, and I am joined by Emma, Brent, and Chase.
Hey.
You got the crew.
Yes, we have everybody here. We're so excited to have you on. Thank you so much again. So we all saw your appearance on The Tonight Show. We know that's a bit different from this, but what was it like to be on primetime television and have the opportunity to punch a mock version of yourself?
Well, I've been on television enough, but primetime with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show definitely get your nerves going. And I actually turned down them three times because I didn't want to really step on the Royals right after them winning a World Series championship. I didn't want to do that. And then secondly, I get nervous when I got to do that type of stuff and didn't want to do that. So they finally convinced me that worst case scenario is that it's in front of a live audience, but it's taped, and we can redo it if we need to. So I ended up taking their offer and going on the show, and I'm glad I did because I don't think I'll ever get another chance to get on The Tonight Show again. But it was 30 years in between Tonight Shows. Johnny Carson 30 years ago, and then just recently with Jimmy Fallon, so it was pretty cool.
Wow, that's great. So what was it like to see the Royals, who haven't won a World Series in the past 30 years, win the World Series? And, you know, is there any part of you that's going to miss being one of the biggest icons of Kansas City baseball?
Well, that is a great question. I'm kind of I'm very excited, first off and foremost, for the new team. I know my guys are a great group of guys. They've been playing together for a long period of time, and they've come up through the ranks together, the majority of them. They've been through some tough times and some great times, and to see Kansas City, the fans, the organization, everybody that's involved with the team and all the players is just, it's a great honor, and it's great to see them. The part of me is a little bummed because now I have other people that have joined in the championship, but that's just a real, real small bit. And Kansas City is always going to be close to and dear to my heart. I have three kids that were all born there, and it's just great community, and it's I'm happy for them.
Hey, Brett, this is Chase here. Honor to have you on with us. I guess you just talking about the World Series and your kids gives me a great segue for my question. So in 1985, you were part of the Royals World Series team. Can you walk me through the 48 hours that was the Don Dechinger blown call at first base, followed by you becoming a father and then going out and throwing a five-hit shutout to win a World Series all at the age of 21?
Well, that morning, that was when Drew was born before Game 6. I came into the clubhouse Game 6 giving out cigars. The call was later on in that game. And I think the call by Don Dechinger actually saved Jack Clark a lot of humiliation for dropping that foul ball at the first base dugout. It could have been ended the inning as well, so. It's unfortunate that Vince Coleman, who has great speed, can't outrun a tarp. We're good friends, and I always give him crap about that, getting run over by the tarp that rolls out about 1 second, 1 mile per hour. So there's a lot of things that went wrong for the Cardinals in that series, and a lot of good things happened for us in that series. But I think really what kind of calmed my nerves throughout prior to Game 7, because that was probably the most nervous I've ever been before a game, was actually having Drew, my first child, being born and taking me away from thinking about baseball for a little bit, a few hours here and a few hours there.
Hey, Brett, this is Brent. I have a question that kind of relates to what we were just talking about. Which would you say was your most proud accomplishment, winning World Series MVP that year, winning your two Cy Youngs, or pitching a no-hitter in 1991?
The first thing that is always on my number one list is definitely the World Series, because it's a team sport that I happen to be a part of. Very fortunate to have won one World Series. I always felt that I was very fortunate to put on a major league uniform for at least one day in the big leagues. My career actually lasted a lot longer than that. But it's something that he'll always cherish because it's so tough to achieve that. So the individual awards are great, don't get me wrong. And that's how each individual gets paid. But the team, we're in the World Series, getting the postseason, being a part of that team concept and winning the championship is something that I'll always cherish the most.
Brett, when you talk about, you know, being a team, obviously you valued being a part in the clubhouse throughout your career. You know, you played with three very storied franchises in the Royals, Mets, and Red Sox. Played with a lot of famous guys, you know, amongst them George Brett, Manny Ramirez. Who would you say was the best teammate you ever played with, and who was your favorite teammate that you ever, you know, got along with in the clubhouse?
Well, I got along with so many guys. It's tough to really pick one guy. I think coming up, George Brett made a big, huge impact on me because he really kind of took myself and Mark Gubazaw under his wings. And probably Mark Gubazaw was the first guy that we both came up. I think he was 22 or 23 at the time. I was 20. And really coming up together, playing in the minor leagues together, knowing each other, made it a little easier for both of us, I believe, because we had stuff to do. We could hang out together. We roomed together on the road. So it was something that I think Gooby was probably comes to mind first, but I had so many great teammates in every place that I played, and I'm still in contact with teammates from each team that I played with. So, but Mark is married Janine and myself, one of her good girlfriends from high school, and he's in California now. We got him out of Philadelphia and into California, so Gooby and I still keep in contact with each other quite a bit.
Great. So I'd like to focus a little bit to the 2015 Royals. So Alex Gordon, Johnny Cueto, and Ben Zobrist are all free agents. Which of those players do you think the Royals need to re-sign the most, in your opinion, and why?
Well, first and foremost, Gordo in left field, he's done an unbelievable job. He's been a part of this nucleus for a long period of time. He's come up through the ranks. And so I would think that would be your first guy that you really want to sign. Secondly, Zobrist, Ben has an unbelievable job coming over at the trade deadline and just playing multiple positions. He can do it all. He can run the bases. He can swing the bat for power, for average. He moves runners. He puts down bunts when you need to. He sees that all-around type of player that has been unbelievable for the Royals in their playoff run. Cueto, he's going to get paid pretty good money, but I think the Royals have some good young pitchers that could possibly come up and fill those shoes. Not the experience that Cueto has, but if you're going to spend some money, I think those two guys, position players, I would go after first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've read that you were recently a baseball coach in Calabasas. Do you have any interest in helping the team in the future?
No. And I say that with a laugh. I enjoyed my time while I was there. It became what I really enjoyed doing. About 10% of what I really enjoyed doing was coaching. And there were so many other things that came along with it. I was in charge of three teams, freshman, JV, and the first team. And just a lot of things. By the time I got up to practice, I was just kind of mentally fried at times because I was concentrating on so many other things. It could go from grades to parents to playing time to, you know, getting coaches out there. You know, the toughest part for me at the high school level coaching was having to cut a kid coming into trying to play the high school team. Very difficult, and that was one thing I hated doing. That was the first thing that I had to do was tell a kid that he couldn't play baseball. But you couldn't have everybody on the team that just came out and wanted to play. So no to that. The answer would be no to that. I'm not coming back to Calabasas or high school at any time soon.
Okay. I had to ask because, you know, I've gotten a very strong sense of kinship from sort of the whole Royals organization over the past 2 years. And even the way some of the deadline trade acquisitions that the team had this year, it seems like everyone sort of melded together very well. And I got, you know, just a very strong sense of chemistry, even with past players.
You know, Brett, the rest of our show is made up of California residents. I myself, I'm an East Coast kid from New Jersey. So West Babylon, New York, not too far from me. Could you please tell me a little bit about Brett Saberhagen's hidden fund? Because it seems like something that I would have loved to be able to go to as a kid.
Well, Hidden Fun, I opened up an entertainment center that was, you had batting cages in there, you had a pitching mound, I gave some lessons, I had some other guys that were giving lessons. It was basically an arcade. It had a pizza shop that you can come and have birthdays with. They had laser tag and all the latest, newest games that you could want to go into an arcade and play the video games. And had an apparel shop up front with bats and uniform tops and stuff to purchase. But it didn't go away. I guess it was a bad location. I personally come in after hours, and I'd have friends over, and the kids would come up to New York from California, and it would be closed, and we'd just have a great old time. It was kind of like your own amusement park to go and use it from time to time.
All right, great. So for those who are just tuning in, we're here with Mr. Brett Saberhagen at UCLARadio.com. So we just have a few more questions for you. We're very interested here in understanding the nature of baseball injuries, particularly, you know, pitching injuries. There's often a lot of debate about how pitchers should be handled and what is the ultimate cause of the injury. And I was curious, in your experience, if you found that stressful innings where you're throwing upwards of 30 pitches are more difficult than, say, just a heavy overall workload, whether it be in one start or over a whole season?
Well, there's a lot of money invested in these players nowadays. And so I think the younger players, they're kind of treat them with kid gloves. And they want to make sure that they're healthy year to year and not getting injured from throwing too many innings, too many pitches. So that's definitely changed from the time that I've come around. I think the one thing that is causing a lot of elbow problems, Tommy John surgeries, so on and so forth, is the breaking pitch. It's not the curveball necessarily, but it's more of the slider, the cutter, mm-hmm. that the guys are throwing that are throwing so hard and probably doing a little bit too much with their wrist that's causing the inflammation and the problems with Tommy John stuff. So, it's a fine line where you want those guys to be out there playing for you. But I think they did a good job with Harvey, ended up getting to play in the World Series and pitching in the World Series, even with the amount of innings that he accumulated this year.
So if you had any advice to young pitchers, you'd probably say try to avoid the slider cutter, sort of that type of pronation?
Correct, yeah. First, fastball command, it's more important than velocity. And then having a changeup, a good changeup, is great. You need to have that off-speed pitch. Curveball does less damage to the elbow if you throw it properly. All the breaking pitches, as long as you throw them properly, you shouldn't have problems.
Okay, great. And I think we have one last question from Emma.
Oh, hi, Brett. It's Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Thank you again for coming on, by the way.
Absolutely.
The last question is just, what have you been doing recently, or what will you be doing just in an everyday kind of wondering?
Well, I've been all over doing a lot of tree work for a lot of different friends around the country. I've done some personal appearances, and now I'm getting ready to relax a little bit and enjoy the non-baseball season, which I'll be heading up to Mammoth shortly. I'll be coming to visit the Nearing family the night before Thanksgiving,
I
look forward to that. So seeing friends and spending some time with friends lately.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us.
It was an
absolute honor to have you on our show. And we hope that you have a lovely holiday season. And maybe you think about listening in sometime in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me and asking.
Okay. That was Brett Saberhagen, World Series MVP in 1985 for the Kansas City Royals. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the hot stove, into qualifying offers, into everything that is the hectic Major League Baseball offseason. You are listening to MLB Talk at UCLA Radio.